Welcome back to episode 50 of the Guardian Project podcast. I'm your host, Andy. And when I was trying to come up with my intro this week, I really couldn't make a decision on what route to go. There were so many options. It was just a whirlwind of thought.
Ah, nice. I like it. And I'm your co-host, Mike Coyle. And the other day I saw someone playing a Tyum Luminous Enigma deck. And I looked at their board and I said, do all of your creatures have vigilance? Damn right they do!
Please listen carefully.
This is the podcast where we talk about all things Magic the Gathering.
But mostly Commander.
And before we start, we want to thank our patrons. We appreciate all of your support. If you want to support us, you can head to patreon.com/guardianprojectpod and donate at any dollar amount. We have lots of fun things to give away, so and prizes, so come support us. We appreciate it.
And if you're looking for a different way to support us, you can always leave a like, a comment, subscribe wherever you are listening. We also have a TCG player affiliate. And we have a TCG Player affiliate link located on our website at guardianprojectpodcast.com. So if you're looking for any singles or sealed product and you plan on buying them through TCG Player, please use our link.
Use the link. We appreciate it. What are we talking about this week?
This week we are going to talk about the Secret Lair Summer Drop. It's pretty big. There's a few of them that are coming out. We are going to talk about the announcement of the newest announced set. I don't think it's the next set, but the newest
we're
announced
set.
We're
going to announce the announcement?
We're going to announce the announcement about Double Masters.
Okay.
Which there was two announcements about.
There were two announcements. There were two.
And for our main segment today, we are going to talk about how we manage our Commander decks, both physically and digitally.
Perfect.
And Commander of the Week. I built Otrimi, the Ever Playful, upgraded.
And yeah, which you saw, what? We streamed it a little bit last week, and then we're going to stream it again tonight.
Yeah, and I liked how that deck performed on its first go, so I'm excited for go two.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that. After you go through the deck, we can talk about a very fun interaction we found with a card that I played. So a ruling that I had enjoyed a lot because it worked out in my favor.
I'm
so
sure.
Stay tuned.
Yeah,
stay tuned. So the Secret Lair Summer Super Drop. Say that five times fast.
Summer Super Drop.
Secret Lair Summer Super Drop is coming in June. There are five different drops, just like we originally saw. You can buy them separately. You can buy them as a bundle. Obviously, you get it's a better price if you buy it as a total bundle. As we mentioned before, when they were previewing this, buying it as a total bundle, you also get one of the enemy fetch lands included, random, which is great. Those have those awesome arts. So there are five drops coming. You have the full sleeves, the tattoo pack, which comes with Spell Pierce, Blood Artist, Eternal Witness, Pithing Needle, and Ink Moth Nexus, all with American tattoo style artworks. They're all alternate arts. None are foil, if that's relevant. Coil likes non-foil.
It's very okay.
And then you have the drop, Can You Feel with a Heart of Steel, with a foil alternate art, Arcbound Ravager, Darksteel Colossus, and Walking Ballista. Third is The Path Not Traveled, which was a really cool preview on Twitter. They were previewed by cosplayers who dressed up as these characters. So there's a Johnny Steadfast, Domri Raid, Tamiyo Field Researcher, and Vraska Golgari Queen. These are foil alternate arts. The next one, which is a pretty classic one, Mountain Go. It's just four lightning bolts.
It's pretty
all different artworks. It's a play set. And if you play Modern,
you're going to want to buy four of these.
You're going to want to buy four of these, or you can play different artworks. Who cares? If you're playing Lightning Bolt, they know you have four, right? And then it's like in game two, it's a trick on them because they're like, wait, which artwork did I see in game one? does he really have four? And you're like, no, joke's on you. I only run three. But then you're making a mistake, I think. So don't run four.
As long as you're also mixing in full art basics with your regular basics in that deck, go for it.
Go for it. And then the last secret layer drop is Ornithological Studies.
It's a mouthful.
It's a mouthful. And actually, I think of these, this one's my favorite. So for this, the announcement says that of all of Magic's fictional creatures, birds are far and away the most popular. And they said they thought it would be cool to envision what these birds would look like if they existed in real life. So they commissioned naturalistic and classical illustrations for these cards. So this comes with Swan Song, Birds of Paradise, Gilded Goose, Baleful Strix, and the card Dovescape. So the first one, I guess, is the tattoo pack is from on sale June 1st and June 2nd, and then June 2nd and 3rd, and so on. And then you can buy the super drop from June 1st through June 15th. So you have a more extended period of time to buy that. And that comes with that fetch land. So I actually think that these are worth the values, right? So let's look at the first one. So the full sleeve tattoo pack comes with two commander staples. I guess if you play modern, you have the Ink Moth Nexus. If you're playing competitive decks, like CEDH does play Spell Pierce. This one's $30. And if you're gonna use four of the cards potentially, well worth the value. I think these artworks for Blood Artist and Eternal Witness are going to those are going to be popular. So I feel like on the secondary market, they might be a little pricey if you're looking to just pick those up as singles. But I really do like these ones.
And this is one of the rare times I would actually consider picking up a playset of that Ink Moth Nexus art to play in my like Infect Modern deck, especially since it's non-foil and you don't have any issues with like some of your cards warping and some of your cards not warping. So it's such a sweet artwork. Sorry.
I do really, really like that artwork. The second one, which is Arcbound Ravager, Darkseal Colossus, Walking Ballista, that one's $40. The only card in this that I play in Commander is Walking Ballista. It does combo with a few different cards. This card also combos with the new Heliod. So if you're playing mm-hmm. that deck, this is a very good card. Darkseal Colossus is very popular in Commander. Arcbound Ravager is played in Modern. I think if you need these cards, this is a good pickup. If you don't need them, obviously you can pick up a single here. But I think that Walking Ballista, if you play a deck that plays that combo, it might be worth picking this up.
Oh, for sure. Beside, needless to say, the sweet artwork that these cards have.
Yeah, the Walking Ballista looks like a Transformer.
Yes, it does. It sure does, and it's really cool because it's got two giant cannons on the back of it.
Two giant cannons. The Path Not Traveled, so you've got Johnny Steadfast, Domri Raid, Tamiyo Field Research, and Vraska Golgari Queen is $40. I play Domri Raid, Tamiyo, and Vraska in Commander decks already. Mm-hmm. I will be picking this up. A Johnny Steadfast is a good card. I just don't play it. Or actually, no, I lied. I do. I play that also in my Commander. I play all four of these. Mm-hmm. I play all four of these in Commander decks. If you're playing Super Friends, it's great. If you just want to collect Planeswalkers in situations where they hadn't traveled to, doing things that they haven't done before, where Domri is a cowboy and Vraska is going to prom, this is really cool. I really like these artworks as well.
Tamiyo as Carmen Sandiego or just an investigator and Ajani as Cyclops from X-Men is really awesome.
Where in the world is Tamiyo Sandiego?
I hope she's not in your hand because then I lose. That's the strongest place.
Is she the strongest planeswalker?
Her ultimate, I guess, no. Her ultimate is not an instant win.
It's omniscience, though, that you can't interact with, so that's wonderful.
It's super. It is top three. Top three Planeswalker ultimates, for sure.
Sure. The Mountain Secret Layer drop is $30 if you're looking to buy a playset of Mountain, or I'm sorry, of Lightning Bolts. You can get them cheaper. If you want these four artworks, then this is for you. This one is, I think, of all of them, this is the one that I will use the least. I have a Modern deck that plays with four Lightning Bolts, but I don't play with Lightning Bolt in Commander personally.
No, it's too limited.
And then ornithological studies, I think I will get the second most out of. This is for $30, you get swan song, birds of paradise, gilded goose, baleful strix, and dovescape. You know, swan song is an expensive card. I'm pretty sure that right now it goes for, it's like almost $10, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
So being almost $10 already in just one card, Birds of Paradise, this artwork will probably, most of these are going to fetch a nice price. I assume they'll probably be like $10 or something. Mm-hmm. I think you're safe to go. If you're looking to buy these and not lose out or lose value, this one is definitely a solid purchase.
I totally agree. Dovescape is the only card in this set that I don't use in a deck somewhere. So
I don't use Dovescape. There's Dovescape like locks where you right. everybody and but I don't play like that in Commander with Dovescape. I'll make it so you can't swing at me. I'll lock you out that way. I don't sure. want to get swung at.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna count every spell and give people silly little birds.
Little birds that'll smack you in the face and kill you.
Yes, they will. So if you're looking for the Summer Super Drop, that comes in just a couple of weeks. Actually, not even a couple of weeks.
No, Monday
That goes on sale on Monday. And I know that people are now getting confirmations on receiving their Theros Gods. And they are getting their International Women's Day.
Yes.
So I assume that if you're looking to get these real fast, I would assume they probably have a few of these already printed. So if you're ordering like the minute you possibly can at 9 a.m. Pacific time, so on June 1st, you'll probably get your order in a couple of days. I would assume, but I think this is a great drop. I will probably buy a bundle.
Yeah, I'm interested in a lot. I don't know if I would get the whole thing. But yeah, there's a lot of singles I'm interested in.
I like Fetchlands. I like those arts. Chance of me getting that Misty Rainforest with that sweet, sweet artwork. You know, I can't resist just getting that.
Yeah, where a normal Misty Rainforest is already going up to like $120. Then you have this artwork.
Right. So
the greed monster.
We have another set that was spoiled. Double Masters. So much that it was announced two times.
It was. Double announced for Double Masters.
Double announced. A set that includes two rares in every pack.
Mm-hmm.
And two foil cards in every pack. And in each booster box, there are two non-foil borderless showcase box toppers. 24 packs per booster box. The cards that they already spoiled were Doubling Season and Blightsteel Colossus. Right. So they are very popular cards. Doubling Season is like a Commander staple. If you're playing with counters or with creature tokens, you probably only need a copy of Doubling Season. I hate switching my decks around, so I do purchase a few copies of a lot of cards. I personally just don't like moving them around because then I forget which deck they're in, and then I feel like I lose them, and you have a little panic attack because Doubling Season is a $60 card.
Mm-hmm.
Where did my Doubling Season go? But there's been some drama about the prices of these cards.
Yeah, so I actually only saw little hints and whispers of the pricing thing, and I was trying to find if they, like the whole MSRP versus what the store is actually going to sell them for. I didn't find anything concrete, though, personally.
I mean, Magic did away with MSRP.
So right.
They don't give that to you. And I think the best bet was that you could purchase card. I guess what most people were doing was they were looking at the prices on Amazon, which appeared to have a box listed around $300 and an individual pack at like $16.
Yep.
Which is obviously triple the price of a normal booster pack. So it's a premium product because it's a master set, which
sure.
is totally understandable.
Yep.
But knowing that was what you can assume as a pre-release price through Amazon, your booster boxes are probably going to be more expensive, you know, based on things that have happened in the past.
For sure.
If the demand is there, that price is going to go up, and it's supposed to be a good draft set. And, you know, I mean, I think I've already said it on the podcast, and if I haven't, I'll say it now. I personally don't want to spend that amount of money, even though I can afford it, right? There's people talking about these sets are for whales. We need to make stuff for whales. Whales being people that have expendable
income.
Income.
Mm-hmm.
I have some. I have 28 commander decks that we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
That it was expensive to make 28 commander decks. You know, I bought a case of Ikoria because I like to play sealed at home. I like to draft, but I also like to just open packs sometimes. So sure. I'm just going to open a box. That was expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But that was expensive to get six boxes of 36 cards in a pack. And you can build almost anything. You're almost guaranteed. Yeah, you're not guaranteed, but it feels like you're almost guaranteed to get each of the cards you wanted for Commander when you buy that product. I personally am not willing to spend triple the price for less product,
right?
Because you're getting less packs.
You are.
But you're getting, I mean, the argument is you're getting a better shot at cards that are maybe worth way more, right? You could open mm-hmm. a doubling season. You could open two doubling seasons in a pack, I assume.
Yeah. Yeah. They said that was possible.
I guess you could potentially open four doubling seasons if you get two foil doubling seasons.
That's crazy.
So I hope if somebody opens two foil and two non-foil doubling seasons, they would tweet that. I assume it will happen. If someone does that, there's going to be a picture somewhere.
There's got to be. But double, double, double.
Double, double, toil and trouble was a Disney movie, I think, with Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen.
Okay, I'm going to take your word for it.
I don't know if it's Disney.
Nope, it's fact now. If you're listening to this, fact.
Okay, I don't know if it's Disney, but I do know Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen were in that movie.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't know. What I mean, you buy a lot of Masters product, but Modern Horizons was a really good set for that, right? No one knows if Double Masters is going to be as good as Modern Horizons, but...
Well,
Modern Horizons wasn't... I don't even remember how much that cost.
So Modern Horizons was actually a pretty decently priced Masters set, if you will. It wasn't technically a Masters set. It was a Modern set. And there was no reprints.
You're right. It wasn't a Masters set, but it felt like one.
Right. Because it went straight to Modern. And it skipped Standard. And that's exactly what a Masters set is. But it saw no reprints in Modern Horizons. It were all brand new cards. And this is going to be... I don't know if they said exclusively, but most likely almost exclusively reprints.
I know. This is reprints. Yeah.
Exclusively reprints. So that's the big difference from Modern Horizons. Modern Horizons was a ton of fun. Really, really, really good set. This is going to be reprints that they're going to have to do into drafting. I've never drafted with Masters sets before. They seem well put together, at least when I look at the latest Ultimate Masters. When I look at Ultimate Masters, it looks really put together for a draft set. So, again, personally, I don't have any experience drafting the Masters sets, and Modern Horizons was a whole different beast. This one, I don't know. Would you be excited to open a Blightsteel Colossus when you're drafting? You going to get to 12 mana?
I assume that if it's in there, there's probably a way to get to it. Perhaps there's another card that's being reprinted in here that is going to make it so that you can draft both of them.
You can sneak attack it out or something.
Sure. I wouldn't be mad about opening a Blightsteel Colossus. They're an expansive card.
Yeah. Blightsteel Colossus is the real artwork for Double Masters because they're double reprinting it this year right now in both the Summer Drop as well as Double Masters. So it's being reprinted twice, so it's a double, 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 double.
Double, 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 double. Yeah. I have never drafted a master set either, mostly because when you go to your LGS to draft a master set, sometimes they're charging you $40 for a draft, and you could open three 50-cent rares, and I'm not about that. Now, we've talked... I think I've seen many people talk about this on Twitter, and they said, when you draft... Do you draft to have fun? Do you draft to get a value card? Do you draft hoping? You know, I think I think it's a combination of both, right? You're happy. Would you be upset if you opened 3 50-cent rares and lost every game? Yes. Would you be upset if you opened one $75 foil rare or mythic and lost every game? No, you wouldn't be mad.
No,
because
not
you
at
just
all.
Made $75. Mm-hmm. You can sell it and play probably another two.
You don't even have to play. If you don't want to,
you just go play Commander and shove that card in it because it's the doubling season that you opened or something.
Just sell it.
No, I put it in decks.
Buy more cards.
But I like drafting a lot. I don't like the price of this.
Right.
So it's just been interesting seeing everybody's opinions on this. They also confirmed fetches are not in this set. Fetches will be printed later this year. And from what everybody's saying is either it could be a box topper in Zendikar or it could be in Commander Legends. Those are the only two options at this point.
Commander Legends would be cool.
Commander Legends would be great, right? Because it's a set for Commander and mm-hmm. it's going to be opened a lot,
mm-hmm.
meaning people will hopefully open a ton to lower those prices. Or it'll be a box topper in some set.
Yeah, you don't. So they already confirmed they're not bringing back masterpieces and stuff like that, right? So it won't be a return to the
where
expedition
they're in
lands.
Regular booster. Yeah, no, I don't believe. I don't remember reading that. Did they confirm that won't see those anymore?
I think they did a long time ago. I think after the Amonkhet block, they're like, "We're sorry, it was a mistake." When really, I don't think it was. But it brought standard prices down a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I would like to see, I agree with everyone. I'd like to see owning a playset of all 10 fetches because I bought them when they had shot way down in price when they were reprinted in Modern Masters 2017. Pretty sure it was 17. I picked up a playset when they had hit the rock bottom that what they were going to, which was not rock bottom. It was still expensive.
Still expensive.
I'm not going to be upset if the prices of these plummet because from what we've seen in the past, they get reprinted, they get gobbled up because everybody can afford them now. They literally leave and then they shoot back up. Fetches are more expensive now. Those fetches that were reprinted in Modern Masters are more expensive now than they were before they were in Modern Masters. So you're going to make your money back. Just put them in there.
So what if they... More... Go ahead.
I was going to say, I would... If they sold... Double Masters at $4 a pack.
Mm-hmm.
I would buy a case, right?
Yeah.
But now I won't buy any. And I'm sure I'm not alone. So if they lowered that price, they might potentially sell even more.
But they do protect the aftermarket pretty heavily.
But they're not allowed to talk about it.
Right. But they still do it.
Sure.
Because the aftermarket, I mean, a lot of the aftermarket is their LGS. Obviously, in today's day and age, there's a lot of single sellers out there too, though.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to keep their LGSs alive as well with single sales. So they have to make sure that the aftermarket survives. So I understand from that point of view, but you're definitely not wrong. They would sell more if it was
They would
cheaper.
Make more money if it was more affordable. I mean, and I'd buy it through my LGS. So my LGS would make more money as well.
You know, these master sets always sell out, though.
Because they're not print to demand.
Well, that's true. If you want to do master sets print to demand, there could be a huge flooding problem.
Well, everybody wants these cards.
Right. That's why it's not print to demand.
So they print it out of people's budgets. And then you can't have your cards.
I mean, for some people's budgets, yes.
Sure.
This is Wizards' way of making a lot of money.
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy. So I'm just interested to see how this one shakes out and what it will actually cost when we attempt to buy a pack at LGS.
Either way, I'm excited to at least see the spoilers for it.
And we're going to have spoilers for that. And I think the Zendikar spoilers start in just a couple weeks too, don't they?
No idea.
I am pretty sure those are coming up.
So Zendikar is being released before Commander Legends, then.
Correct. Zendikar Rising comes out in the third quarter.
Okay. So when they take those, so they're printing Commander decks with that as well in Zendikar Rises. But this one's going to see most of the cards are from the standard set itself. I think they said like 70-some cards from the standard set itself, and then it'll be 30 brand new cards. That's where you're going to see the Fetchland reprint, by the way, right there. Put it on the board.
Which one?
They're going to print Fetchlands in the Commander decks that release alongside Zendikar.
Along with
a bunch of weak draft chaff because they have to build all the decks from the standard set.
And it's not Zendikar Rising coming out. It's Core 2021 is what we're going to see.
Well, never mind.
Just kidding. That's the next set. Zendikar Rising is later. So we're going to see some Core set stuff. Core set Teferi.
Oh, all of a sudden I got really unexcited about the Core set.
Well, then let's change the subject to our main topic of managing our Commander deck. So we posted on Twitter. We reached out to ask how many Commander decks people owned that were currently built and like they could basically play them today. And we got a lot of responses. I think we got nearly 90 responses, something like that. And we got responses ranging from one really tuned deck that's expensive, all the way to Cure for the Common Game responded, and he's got a Twitter account known for attempting to build one commander for every single commander that exists, one deck, and he's got 565 commander decks.
It's a lot of commander decks.
So we are ranging from 1 to 565.
Yeah.
So we were going to talk about where we fall, and then all of the work that goes into managing those decks. So I spent a long time cataloging all my decks on Archidect. We started using Archidect when we wanted to build budget decks with each other, which was sometime last year in the before times.
It was in the early before times.
Mm-hmm. And we logged those so that we could show what price and everything that we were going to have before we purchased the cards. And then as we upgraded, I said, well, I'm just going to throw all my decks onto here. And it probably takes it probably takes 45 minutes, if you can do it pretty quickly, to log a commander deck. And I've logged all of mine now on Archidect, and I have 28 commander decks built. It says 30, but I also have Brawl decks on here because when we stream Brawl, I would post the deck list, and I would build it on here as a commander deck. So I have 28 commander decks, which is a lot. And I guess I didn't realize I had that many until I finally logged them and then I looked at them. How many commander decks do you have built right now?
On Archidect, I'm showing 18. I know some of these decks are not in physical form anymore, but I also looked to my right and counted all of my decks and counted 18. So the number's right. The content's wrong.
So something is not logged yet, then.
Oh, that is correct.
That is correct. You just haven't... Well, I don't know if I delete a deck that I took apart, honestly, from Archidect, because then I know what I had at some point. Mm-hmm. But so currently built, I have 28. And I have to manage them through Archidect now. I cannot pull out 7 decks anymore to figure out where my one fetch land is.
Right.
Or, you know, figure out where that one foil Search for Iskanta is. I was like, I know I run Search in 2 decks. Which one has it? I'm not going to sort through 200 cards to find it, which feels like a first world problem in all honesty. But it's just way easier to see it on Archidect, to just see your decks.
Mm-hmm.
Because I cannot manage them. You know, the other thing is knowing what's in my decks is easier to visualize on a screen than it is to lay out 100 cards on the floor and look at them, just for me.
Yep.
And building decks, I build them directly on Archidect now. I know that you and Judge Anthony, who's been on before, you'll send me a picture of a list that you wrote out by hand. You're like, mm-hmm. Which of these cards do you have?
Yeah.
I'm like, I totally get it. I start on Archidect and I add and remove, and then I just export to people. But I will tell you, it is difficult managing 28 decks at one time.
For sure.
And so we wanted to talk about how often we play each deck, where we log them, how often we make updates, when do we decide to take a deck apart, and that's kind of what we're going to dive into today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So The first one is, how often do we play each of our commander decks?
Obviously, there are some that we love a little bit more than others. There's certain color combinations we want.
We have favorite children.
Absolutely.
Okay? I think most parents say that, and then they laugh and go, no, I don't. But they're really secretly
everyone
do.
Does. Oh, absolutely.
I think that's the truth.
That is a fact. Everyone has a favorite child. If you're listening to this and you don't think so, you're lying to yourself. So... And this is actually, I guess, kind of more complicated than just the statement of a favorite child, because my favorite child for the longest time was Mono Black Reanimator, and I took it apart because my playgroup said, all you play is Mono Black Reanimator, play something else. So I haven't played that in a very long time. But yeah, you know, you're going to have your favorites. I like Sultai right now. I have two Sultai decks built that I really like playing. I'm actually kind of, you know... I like green right now, actually. Really
wow.
into green. I know. For any other Magic the Gathering player, it's like, okay, yeah, sure, whatever, green. But for me, it's a big deal. It's a big deal.
I'm just counting right now how many I have, how many decks I have with each color. I could have come prepared for this. I wasn't prepared for that, but it looks like red and green I have the most of.
Hmm.
But I think just visually looking at it, but I feel like I feel like the real truth is I probably do have blue and more. And when I look at the last time that I updated some of these decks, like I haven't updated my Edrix Spymaster of Trest deck since the beginning of February. So I haven't even touched it in 3 months. But I haven't been playing it, right? Because Edrix is a deck that I have built for our Commander League.
Right.
Because it's too strong to play with friends. It's just not. It's built for. It's built to attempt to win.
Yeah.
Right. And it's built because our league has a point system. So I think that also plays a factor when I decide, or try to determine if I play my decks each equally, because I don't.
Right. I will say wholeheartedly, my Nicol Bolas Super Friends deck is absolutely my favorite deck to play that I own. And I never want to take it apart. But the shell is super strong, so you can't play it in every pot. I play it in usually game one of leagues. Our leagues are two games per night. Typically, mm-hmm. I'll play it in game one. And then depending on which LGS we're playing at, you either play with the same pot again or a different pot. But if it's the same pot and I play it in game one, I'll say, was that too strong? Should I weaken it down? And I'll adjust it from there. But yeah, I don't get to play that one as much as I want to, despite it being my absolute favorite deck.
Yeah, you know, I've been logging all of my decks for this year. I'm working on creating a tab where I can determine how many times I've played each deck, just so that I can run a macro, because it's very difficult to just try and filter an Excel file and then count. And if you spelled something wrong, I have to work on this. But it looks like I did play Edrix Spymaster of Trest and the Locust God more than any other deck this year. But when I started playing Commander from home, I started looking at this list, which was affecting which deck I was playing,
right.
Which is kind of nice to have. I get logging as a pain in the butt sometimes. I mean, after every single game, I log what deck I played, what decks I played against, whether I won or I lost. And I'm going to start at the halfway mark, because I didn't do it at the beginning, but I want at the halfway mark, mark which deck won. And it doesn't matter who it is. I just want to have the information on which decks I see win more often than not, because I want to write an article at the end just talking about this experience. But I think that based on this, I started playing some of my other decks because I don't play them very often. But I also have decks that I don't play very often because people don't like losing to certain strategies. People get really mad losing to Voltron because you got targeted and then the Voltron deck just loses because they picked you off.
Yep.
So I try not to play. I have a Voltron deck in Lazav the Multifarious,
mm-hmm.
but Voltron as in I'm really just doing 12 Infect.
Right. It's and so fast.
I say it's 12 because he's going to have 12 power,
yeah.
and not 10 Infect. Mm-hmm. So I say I deal 12 Infect because he's unblockable and then he deals 12.
It's also trample in case he can somehow block it, but.
I guess that's true. But I don't play Lazav because people get upset losing to Lazav.
Mm-hmm.
So I have that, but the problem is that deck is not up to par with a competitive pod.
Sure.
It's, I mean, sometimes it's just too, so it's one of those in the middle decks where it's too weak to be in the strong table and too strong to be on the, you know, on the mid table. So where do you fall? You're in that weird sphere where you just upset somebody when you kill them. So I don't play that one very often. Do you have decks that you don't play because it upsets people?
Nicol Bolas Super Friends, for sure. It's the strongest Grixis control shell you can play. It's literally Consultation Kess, and then you take out all the win conditions and the cantrips and Kess and replace them with Planeswalkers and put Nicol Bolas as the commander. It does have some super good synergies, and you can take three extra turns on turn four, and you're still going to lose next turn because it's not that strong. But people hate playing against Counterspells, Mass Destruction, Cyclonic Rift. And then when the Planeswalkers start destroying your lands, stealing your permanents, and stripping your hand, people don't like that either. But that's just a Grixis thing. It's not really a Planeswalker thing. And then I know I don't play my Jorian deck a lot anymore because its entire goal is to dirtle until you can Fastest Oracle. So the games are always very long without... There's going to be a lot of interaction, but maybe not a ton of... like swinging and stuff, because I just won't let you.
Yeah, I think we talked about that once on the podcast a couple months ago. Everybody was over at our house playing Commander, and I got knocked out. And I said, I'm going to go upstairs and play some Arena real quick, because I knew the game was not even close.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hold on, let me play some Arena. I just want to finish my daily quest. I had like two daily quests and said, let me just finish these. I'll be back in like a half hour.
Yep.
And I came back and I said, okay, you know, where's the game at? And I think everybody looked at me and said, well, Coils bounced the board twice and gained like 15 life somehow. So we don't expect this to end anytime soon. And the game ended up going like 2 hours.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. When you came back down, the board state was identical. Life totals were a little bit different. And I was halfway through my library at that point.
Yeah, it was just so I get not playing that. I also don't play my Tal Zamir Friend to Wolves deck.
Mm.
Or Friend to Elves deck. Is it? No, it's Friend to Wolves.
Friend to Wolves.
Friend to Wolves.
He makes Wolves.
Friend to the Wolves.
Yep.
Friend to the Wolves. I don't play that because it's a Selesnya fight deck.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally controlling other creature decks, which is upsetting also to some people. You know, I just played two creatures and you just killed both. I get it. I understand, but I feel like you have to keep one person off all their creatures. And if someone's playing all weak creatures and someone keeps dropping things that have death touch, you can't fight the things with death touch. You have to kill all the other things. So again, you're keeping one person down. So I think I play that deck a little less than I do the other decks because I just don't want to upset people.
It's so surprising that a deck like that, when it's just fighting and spot removal, can be more hated than like my Morophon deck, which doesn't target anything. It just tries to go over.
Right.
Right. I know you didn't like playing against, maybe I'm putting words in your mouth, but you didn't like playing against my Galta deck. But
well, the reason I didn't like playing against the Galta deck is because Coil go, Galta, I'm gonna swing at Andy. What the F? Why? Every time. I think I seriously played against that deck 5 times, and mm-hmm. I think 3 times it was like you killed me with commander damage twice,
mm-hmm.
but it's because I just had no answers.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what a Voltron deck does.
That's you what it does.
You know, I mean, I don't like playing against it, but I don't dislike the deck. I just don't like being targeted by it. But there's nothing you can do. That's the deck strategy. So that's why I don't play those decks anymore. I just can't, because I know how much I don't like that strategy, so I don't play that strategy against other people.
Mm. I agree with you to a point. Unfortunately, I did just build a theme deck built around a Voltron commander with Zergo.
Yeah, but
Helmsmaster.
It's mutate. We might. Oh,
no, Zergo. Yeah, my Mardu deck. Zergo is commander damage dot deck. He will have an army of droids with him that could, you know, fill in that role in case someone plays whatever that new magistrate is, make it so I can't cast my commander from the command zone.
Draenith Magistrate?
Yeah, that thing. Yeah. So if someone plays that, then I have a backup strategy. But, I mean, maybe I'm going to run in to the issue. I would hate hating to play my theme deck that I built for fun as a theme because of the strategy that it has to take in order to win.
I completely understand.
So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, yeah, right. So another question, where do we log our decks? We log them on Archidect. I also have my Noyan Dar deck on Tapped Out. I did used to use Tapped Out, but we wanted our decks to contribute to average building cards. Just to be swept into EDH Rec. We use it as a really great resource. And EDH Rec pulls cards from Archidect, so I wanted to make sure that going forward that I use Archidect. And it's a really good tool, and they work on updates all the time. They just added some features when you are adding or changing the sets of a card. They actually added the set symbol, so you don't have to just keep scrolling for the name. You can find the set symbol. They changed up where the toggle is for foil. You can change or add them to another deck easily. And then you can change the categories on here as well. So if you're building a deck and you have, I find this most often with the gods, they default under enchantment, not under creature, which is sometimes not where you want them to be. And sometimes you might have an artifact creature and you want it listed as ramp instead of as a creature, so you can move them around very easily. I think it's really easy to use Archidect. So if you don't use it, check it out. It's really good. And then I think one of my favorite reasons is that you can select Card Kingdom and TCG as both of your prices. And seeing that we have a TCG affiliate link, it's nice to see how much it would cost to purchase the deck without basic lands. So I'm looking right now at my Lysolda deck and I can see the cost without the basics. Sometimes it's also just eye-opening how much you may or may not have put into a deck. You thought your deck was really expensive and then you go, oh, this deck's $200, which that's not inexpensive. Or you look at it and like my Noyan Dar deck that I foiled out and you're like, this deck, I am uncomfortable taking this to a game shop now because this deck is $1,900. I did not realize that by foiling out all but three cards that I was carrying such something that makes me a little uncomfortable to carry around. So that might be a webcam deck now.
Yeah, never. Who knows? Never leave your cards in your car, kids. Never.
Don't do never that. Do it. And don't leave your cards unattended at a game shop. As much as you know everyone there, there's so many people there that walk in. Well, you know the locals, but you don't know everyone that walks in. I always have my cards with me when I'm home.
You're gonna look like a turtle walking around that shop the whole time with your giant backpack on, but your cards will be safe.
I haven't put a backpack on since a long time ago now.
I thought this was gonna go into like, back in my day.
Back on my pack. No. Next question. How often do we update each of our decks?
We at least look at it once a set, for sure. Yeah. At bare minimum. Mm-hmm. Not even.
I haven't touched Edric since February, which means I have not looked at it since Akoria came out. So clearly I have not looked at all 28 of my decks.
Typically I'll look at, it's difficult to go through each one individually, but typically when we're going through spoiler season, Andy and I are texting each other every 2 seconds, screenshot sent, this would go great in this, screenshot
literally,
sent, this would go great
it
in
is
this.
Every 2 seconds. If you're in our Discord and you've turned off our notifications, I understand.
Yeah. I understand. For sure.
Don't turn them off though. Sometimes I want to chat with you though. Anyway.
But it would just have to come to mind during the spoilers. There's going to be some corner case cards every once in a while that won't exactly come to mind. And I guess it's just whenever it comes to mind, you can go, oh shoot, yeah, that is a good upgrade. I should go do that for that deck. But I mean, there isn't like a particular day. I don't go like once a month, first of the month, go, what's new for this deck? Let's go check it out. After playtesting.
You
obviously.
Don't? I have that on my calendar as recurring.
Oh, you reminder. Do, huh? Is it once a year and it's on your birthday and it's just a really good excuse to buy cards for yourself?
And I have. have it so my Outlook calendar blocks my time. So yeah. Show as busy.
Yeah.
So don't call me. My phone is set to out of office. You know, what are you doing? EDH rec.
Yeah.
30 minutes.
The alert also automatically brings up the web page through our affiliate link, obviously.
It does. And it asks me if I want to, you know, schedule a Teams meeting with video and voice call. You know, I could. The whole shebang.
Oh, it's perfect.
Now, you know, just because we're looking at this, I pulled up Edric, and it looks like two new suggestions, which I get: Fierce Guardianship, the free spell, the free blue spell, but also Reconnaissance Mission, which is whenever a creature you control deals damage to a player, you may draw a card, which is what Edric already has, which is redundant in Biden of Thassa and in
Coastal Piracy.
So you can have your third version of this card.
It's pretty good.
Do I want it? Yes. Is it necessary? No.
Is it? Is it the same mana cost as Coastal Piracy, or is it one more?
No, they're all the same. They're all four. Reconnaissance Mission is two blue. Biden of Thassa is two blue.
Oh.
And actually, I'm not even seeing Coastal Piracy listed in the top because they probably just replaced it. Oh, it's also two blue.
Oh, perfect. So good job. Good job, Wizards. You're consistent.
Yeah. Yeah, so you can have a really cool piratey ghost ship with skeleton people throwing people over the, you know, over the bow. That's the, which one's the bow? Is this the bow, or I'm just making boat
the
speak?
The bow is the front.
You know, boat speak?
Yeah, boat speak.
This looks like he's being thrown over the side. What's the boat speak for the side of the boat?
Which side? The right side or the left side?
The side I'm looking at appears, if I'm looking at the front of the boat, it's on my left. What's
okay, so all perspective for boat sides is when you're on the boat.
Right, I'm assuming I'm the skeleton on the boat looking at the front of the boat.
So, and you're throwing them off to the right?
Yeah, I'm throwing them off to my left.
To your left. Okay, left is going to be your port, where right is your starboard.
It looks like this big guy's being thrown off the port.
Okay.
Port side.
You're going to learn one thing about boats today, and you're going to remember it for the rest of your life. Ready? So if you want to know between port and starboard, which one is left or right, which one has more R's in the word? Starboard. So that one's to your right and port's to your left. And then there's bow and stern.
Wow. I did learn something today.
Yeah. I don't own a boat.
But you took boater safety, I assume.
No, they stopped that. They stopped that the year before me.
Oh, well, I don't have a boat, and I didn't grow up with a family of boats, but now I know Coastal Piracy, I'm throwing off port side, and I'm going to reference it when I play this card going forward in my Edric deck. To bring this full circle, we don't make enough updates to our decks because we have too many. Can you imagine having 565 commander decks?
I can imagine it. But the thing I'm imagining more is the amount of money I have to buy that many decks.
To be fair, they did say that they have been building those commander decks for 12 years.
Okay.
So that was actually a qualifier in the response. They were like, my collection's 25 years in the making, commander decks 12 years in the making, but that's still a lot of commander decks each year.
Maybe they're all the commander and 99 basic lands.
No, you can only do that with Ashling. No, I'm kidding. So it was 565 divided by 12 equals 47 decks a year.
That's a lot of decks.
Oh my goodness. But check out Cure for the Common Game on Twitter. Really cool account. I love all the stuff that they post about. And he's got like a commander wall where he's got all of his decks in like clear glass cases and they're all labeled. I mean, it is organized. And I'm over here trying to find my Edric deck, and I don't know if it's in this room or if it's in my office on a shelf. And he's got them all labeled. So I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
See, but I was going to mention it before when we were talking about organizing our decks and trying to figure out like what card is in what deck. See, I have this system in my house called the piles system. So if you've ever been to my house,
I have been.
There's about four or five spots in the house where it looked like a card explosion happened. And each one of those card explosions has piles in them, and each pile is probably associated with a commander deck that I thought about building at one point in time. So not only do I have to find out if it's in a deck, I have to find out if it was in maybe a deck.
By looking for its pile.
Gotta look for its pile. There's always a theme to a pile.
So the last item is discussing when we take a deck apart. So when would we... Why would we? I think the number one here is I usually take a deck apart if I don't like the strategy or I don't like what it's doing or I can't get it to work. And I think I've taken two decks apart. One was for that reason. Another one was because I wanted to build a different deck and all of the mana base and almost everything that I needed was in that deck. And I said, well, if I'm already taking out 40 cards, the deck's just coming apart because I'm going to keep the other one built. So I took apart Exava Rakdos Blood Witch. I just could not get that one to... Not Blood... Rakdos... It's Exava. Is it Rakdos Blood Witch?
I think she's still a Blood Witch.
Exava? Yeah, okay. I was confusing. Yeah, it's Rakdos Blood Witch because it's also Lysolda the Blood Witch, which mm-hmm. I changed it to. And I just couldn't get the deck to work. Now, there's been a lot that has happened since I had that deck built. That was one of the first original decks that I built. And we've now got a lot of cards that support the +1/+1 counter set, or I guess style in Rakdos with Stone Coil Serpent, Runaway Steamkin. You've got the Riot cards from the new Ravnica set. So they work well with this. Cards that I hadn't initially thought about, like Grenzo Dungeon Warden, a couple of things like that. That's not, I guess, necessarily new since I built the deck. But the way that I built the deck was just, I had 37 lands. I had a lot of ramp. I seemed to either get land screwed or land flooded. And then when I did the things it was supposed to do, I just got really outpaced. Now, Exava is giving other creatures haste if they have a +1/+1 counter on them. So not necessarily the strongest strategy. And she has Unleash herself as a 3/3 that can become a 4/4 that has first strike haste and can't block. It didn't work. I wasn't happy with it. So I just took that apart. And then I also had a Zedru the Greathearted that I took apart.
Yep.
Because that mana base turned into a different deck. But I think I take decks apart when I can't get it to work, or I really just need too much from it that it's just not worth keeping partially assembled until I replace those swapped cards.
Sure. Mine is typically like new hotness needs all the staples. So yeah. I'll take a deck apart for Otrimi that I just built. I knew Mutate itself was kind of, it's a high, I don't want to say a weak mechanic. It's a high mana cost mechanic, so I wanted to make sure that the mana base was 100% with that. So I started taking some pieces from other decks, trying to keep them together as much as possible. The Hogak deck stayed together, even though I borrowed some fetch lands from it. But my Kenrith the Returned King Wheels deck has been taken apart now for sure. In building that and building my Zergal Helm Smasher deck. So I don't typically take a deck apart. I was trying to think of, like, was there ever a time I took a deck apart because I wasn't having fun with the deck or the deck wasn't doing what it was supposed to do? I think SRAM probably was just kind of boring when I built it, but
yeah,
it did what it was supposed to do, and now I have all the equipment and I could build any equipment deck that I would want. I shouldn't say never, because it's actually not true even right now. I was going to say I never have two mono black decks. That's not true. But like, if there's two decks that are going to do almost identical to the same thing, I won't have both built at the same time. So my Shire and my Ayara deck will not be built at the same time because they're just mono black, aristocrat, sacrifice, bring stuff back. But I will go back and forth between them. I know we talked about how we don't like swapping cards between decks. It's not something I want to do on a daily basis, but it is something I would do on a quarterly basis just to mix things up.
Yep. I agree. So, and I think when I take a deck apart, I still don't take it off of Archideck so that I can see where I last left off.
Mm-hmm.
You can build it back up to that point and then change it up. But I would suggest, I think you might be surprised if you're not logging your decks online, you might be surprised with what you do and don't have. You know, I had a deck where I put it into Archidect and realized I only had 33 lands, and I was always struggling, and I was not understanding why. And it was because I don't know what I was, you know, when I had it in my hand, I guess I just didn't realize that I only had 33. So I added 3 lands and 2 rocks to it. And I just took out cards that I was realizing I was not happy with anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was because I couldn't cast them because I never had the mana or they weren't doing much, that remains to be seen at this point. That's when I do that.
Earlier, when you were talking about how Judge Anthony and I both write our lists down and you build yours in Archidect. So when I'm at work and I have a little bit of time, like between assignments or between documents loading or something, I do want to say Archidect's mobile interface is really good. I enjoy it. The only tidbit I would want to give you is make sure you hit save, because it doesn't auto-save your deck list all the
always
time.
Always save.
I kind of wish they had a feature where you can turn on auto-save, but I understand that would put a big load on their servers, so maybe that's why they can't do it. So that's the only thing I would ask to be changed. But it's super nice to actually just build your mana base up in Archidect instead of counting down from 63. Like, I have 63 cards I can put in this deck, because that leaves me with 37 lands at the end. But if you want to see all your lands, you want to see all your rocks all together, so you can make a better determination about what you want to do for the rest of your deck and for its curve. On top of the fact that they do automatically have some calculators in there as well to tell you how many of your cards are, you know, black compared to green compared to blue. And then also how mana intensive each color is, in case you want to change your mana base up that way. So even if you have 20 green cards, if they're all one pip green and you have 10 black cards that are all 4 pip black, it'll give you both of those pieces of data to help you mold your mana base. So definitely you can use it for a tool like that.
Yeah, Archidect is great, so check them out. And I think that's, you know, we could talk a lot more obviously about how we manage our decks, right?
For sure.
But I think those were the main items that had come up that we wanted to address today. Mm-hmm. And I know you mentioned it earlier. You just built an Otremi deck. Do you want to walk us through the strategy behind your Otremi deck and what we can expect to see on stream later?
I am going to do my best to walk you through what Otremi really is down to its core,
okay,
which is mutate. And that's it. So what this deck, all
that's
it is,
it's right, it. That's it's the end of the
mutate.
Show.
It's got,
it's mutate.
It has every legal mutate card in Sultai built in. On top of, we have our froggy boy, who I can't remember the name of right now, who isn't a mutate creature, but does care about mutate. This is Poliwog Symbiote, where each creature spell you cast costs 1 generic less to cast if it has mutate. Whenever you cast a creature spell, if it has mutate, draw a card, then discard a card. Every other card that mentions mutate that is Sultai importance, if you will. I think there's a green creature where you gain life and put +1/+1 counters. There's a colorless egg where you get +1/+1 counters. Those cards did not make it into the deck. I deemed it more appealing to go for cards that have unblockable or flying or other keywords that I could take advantage of, such as Baleful Strix, which, you know, we're seeing a reprint of, which has flying and death touch. It's a black and a blue. And when it enters the battlefield, you draw a card. And it's a 1/1, but we're going to mutate on top of it, and we're going to make it a 6/6 commander flying death touch, and it'll be great. So the things that really power up this deck, again, I talked about my mana base earlier. We're playing 37 lands. We're playing every legal fetch land that we can. And we're playing every legal duel that we can, beside revised duels, because I don't own any. To try to make the mana base as consistent as possible, we are looking at a lot of different colors in Sultai. This is a very balanced deck that, in terms of color. But again, very mana intensive. So we're going to run 11 artifacts, where one of these artifacts is not ramp. And that's Vedalken Ori. Aside Vedalken Ori, we're also playing the enchantment Leyline of Anticipation. So Vedalken Ori and Leyline of Anticipation both allow me to cast my spells as if they had flash, which is very, very important. For the mutate strategy, there are some mutate creatures like Dirge Bat, which do already have flash. Dirge Bat says whenever this creature mutates, destroy target creature or planeswalker and opponent controls. But allowing all of your mutate creatures to have flash makes it so that you can use a lot of these effects as combat tricks, which can be very, very powerful. For instance, there's an uncommon mutate creature that a lot of people just overlook because they think it just costs way too much mana. It's not going to do much, but I can attest that it does a lot. And that's Archipelagor. Archipelagor is a 7-mana Leviathan that you can mutate for 6, so 5 and a blue. It says whenever this creature mutates, tap up to X target creatures, where X is the number of times this creature has mutated. Those creatures don't untap during their controller's untap step. So being able to, you know, obviously if someone's not playing a creature deck, maybe that one isn't the most powerful, but that means you can just swing in for your with a 7-7, so it's going to win out either way. The face commander isn't that exciting for this deck, other than the fact that it does have mutate. It's Otrimi, the ever playful, for 6 mana, 3 generic, a black, a green, and a blue. You get a legendary creature, Nightmare Beast, 6/6 trample. It says whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, return target creature card with mutate from your graveyard to your hand. The mutate cost is only 4, so 1, and then the Sultai colors. So just to have another mutate come out of the command zone can be pretty powerful. To make your creature a 6/6 on its face, and for it to be your commander on its face, is also pretty powerful. The one big problem I have with this deck, and I think I am going to add a few cards to make it a little bit better, is the fact that exile removal destroys this deck. It absolutely, and I mean that ironically, it doesn't destroy the deck, it exiles the deck. So Otrimi allows you to get back your mutate creatures from the graveyard. If they ain't going to the graveyard, you ain't getting them back. And there's only 15 mutate creatures. So if you have one stack of 6 and it gets exiled, the whole pile gets exiled, and you might be out of the rest of the game, at least for your mutate strategy. So what I would recommend, and hopefully I'll be able to make a revision to this, is actually putting some sacrifice outlets in the deck. To make it so that if someone does try to spot exile or board removal exile creatures, I can sacrifice them real quick and at least get them into my graveyard where I can potentially recur them later. Other than that, we're valuing our opponents. We're killing them with commander damage. Let's go.
I'm glad you mentioned exiling at the end there, because that really, you know, look at you segueing right into what I was talking about earlier. So I promised I would mention this. So we played a game with this, and I had out the card Athreos Shroudveiled, the box topper god from Theros Beyond Death. And Athreos says at the beginning of your end step, put a coin counter on another target creature. And then whenever a creature with a coin counter on it dies or is put into exile, return it to the battlefield under your control. So we were playing, and I put a coin counter on Coil's mutated commander pile. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it was his commander.
Otrimi and 5 other cards.
It was a big old stack. So as we're playing, there was a question on stream that came up, and there wasn't a judge playing with us. We normally have a judge playing so we can get our questions answered. And I said, well, let's deal with it when we get to it. Yeah. And then we got to it pretty quickly after, and I said, crap. So I messaged in our Discord and asked one of our judges, I said, what happens here? And they said that, I said, if it's combined, will all of the creatures on the stack come back? And I said, if yes, which one stays on top if they come back as a mutated pile, right? So they come back separately. And I said, but I know the commander can be put in the command zone. And it was, there were some questions, and they confirmed that if the commander is part of that pile and has the coin counter on it, the commander and every single mutated creature comes back under my control separated. So Athreos's coin gets around moving a creature that to the command zone. So It didn't do me any good. I got them all back and then died before my next turn. But I still got them all. And that felt really, really good. I guess we did also confirm. We said, can they put Otrevi in the command zone instead? And they said they can, but Athreos's trigger still stacks because it's moving between face-up zones. So even though they chose to put it in the command zone, Athreos does return it from there. So you're not going to get a mutated pile. You're going to get a bunch of separated creatures that have mutate. But I mean, I'll still take a pile of five creatures.
Yeah, and then you died, and they all got exiled, and I couldn't bring them back.
That did happen. Did you lose that game? I think you did.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't won a game with Otrimi yet.
Maybe they'll change tonight.
Upgraded Otrimi. I've only played one game. 0-1 right now. So we're getting there.
That's okay.
But I did Archaea Pelagor, the Goreclaw player's board, I think 3 turns in a row. So he didn't get to play.
Yeah, you kept stuff tapped down. You were a very controlling mutate deck.
And then he killed me.
Deservedly. Well, that's it for our episode this week. Thank you all for listening. If you want to contact us, you can find our podcast on Twitter at Guardian Pod. You can find me on Twitter at AT Flory.
You can find me on Twitter at Wormcoil Engine.
And you can also email us at guardianprojectpod@gmail.com. If you're on Discord and you want to join the discussion, come hang out. There's a lot of commander games being set up. We'd love to have you, and we'd be happy if you join. So send us a message, and we will get you invited to the Discord channel. And we will see you streaming on Wednesdays and Thursdays. Nope, Wednesdays and Fridays.
Wednesdays and Fridays.
Thursdays.
We don't
I will be
Thursdays.
Streaming more. Once I'm done with grad school, so I'll have more time to devote to Magic. So that will happen in the future. Don't know if it's gonna be Thursday, but we're playing around with some times and what we're gonna do with Wednesday streams. We've been doing Brawl, but we've seen a lot of interest in regular paper Commander, so we're trying to figure out what we're gonna do with that. So stay tuned, and we will be back next week with episode 51.
We're almost there.
We're almost to 1 year.
1 whole year for you.
1 whole year.
A little
for
bit
me.
Less. A little bit less than me.
A little bit less. See you next week.
Bye bye.
That was aggressive.
You gotta be aggressive. Be aggressive. I heard people say that phrase. And they said, be aggressive. I've never heard it that way before.
I thought it was BB, not BE.
I thought they spelled B. Aggressive. BE, aggressive.
No, I think you're wrong.
I don't know why you'd say B twice in a row. That doesn't make any sense. You tell me if that makes sense. All right. Jury's out.